You are now listening to the Pop-Up Podcast. It's quite literally a podcast for whatever pops up. Here's the host of the show, director, producer, writer, and however else you know him, Pete Ferreira.
Let's jump in. Someone slowed us down, but let's jump in. Just kidding. so excited to have all of you guys here to chat about what's going on with the coronavirus and the restaurant industry. I'm going to give you all a chance to just jump in and introduce yourselves first, and then we'll kind of jump into some of the topics. But I'll just shout out your names, and then you can just jump in. So let's start with Mike Carino, because he's the first person I see.
Hi, I'm Mike, Big and Prince, Mike's Pasta Sandwich Shop. Montclair, Nutley.
Jersey, New Jersey. Yeah. Jersey. Elizabeth Faulkner.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I live in New York, but I was out here getting ready to do a series of events. And so now I'm at my home, just hanging out until whenever.
Very cool. Caroline Schiff, I see you.
Hi. I'm Caroline. I'm the pastry chef at Gage and Tolner in Brooklyn, New York, which was supposed to open on March 15th. And we closed on the 14th. We decided to shut it down on the 14th.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
We'll get into
it. I know,
and
it's so good and so pretty in there.
Thank you. Yeah, a couple of you I know made it for soft opening, but we're all in the same boat. We're going to...
Yep. All right, let's go to Hillary Sterling.
I'm Hillary. I'm the chef and partner at Drake's in New York.
And Arion.
Hey, I'm Arion Duarte. I have Arion Kitchen and Bar in New Jersey. We have temporarily closed.
And then Claire Robinson.
Hi, I'm Claire, New York City. I restaurant consultant and food entertainment biz.
Ryan.
Hi, guys. Ryan DiPersio. I have a couple restaurants in New Jersey, one in Montclair, Fashino, two in Jersey City, Patello, and Kitchen Step. They are all closed as of right now. I tried to do some takeout, but I decided against it because I wanted to keep me and my safe. So I already have somebody close to me that's sick, and I just didn't want to risk anything. Not somebody I was in contact with, but a family member. So it kind of changes your mental thoughts on, you know, staying open or not.
And Allison Fasano is here, right?
That's right. I am here. I'm Allison Fasano. I'm actually in Long Island, New York. And right now, just kind of like staying home, not working in a restaurant, clearly because we're all closed. So just staying at home, and that's about it right now.
And then Robbie.
Hey, what's up, guys? Robbie Felice, chef and partner in two restaurants in New Jersey, Viaggio Ristorante and Osteria Crescendo.
Cool. And then Leah finally can hear us. Welcome to the party.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Leah, chef and partner at South and Pine in Morristown and Central and Maine in Madison. And a special guest.
Luna. All right, cool. I guess why don't we start with you, Caroline? That must have been tough. You guys are supposed to open this brand new, beautiful restaurant.
Yeah.
Talk to us about what happened, and give us what's going on for you.
I mean, you know, like shittiest timing in the world, but. We had like kind of just gotten through like a round of soft opening, a week of sort of a friends and family kind of thing, and we were like so energized and so ready to go, and then as it sort of became clear that this situation with COVID-19 was really escalating, we just realized that it wasn't going to be safe to open. And yeah, we just had to basically say we're postponing it until this is all over.
Yeah.
You know, which is, it's really hard. I mean, like, we're all in the same boat. I mean, every single restaurant is in New York and across the country is pretty much screwed right now. But it felt like a little, like, just even more like punch in the gut when you're like, wait, I was just ready to get started with everything. And now we just have to put it on hold. But that being said, like, there's no doubt in my mind, this is the right decision. People in New York, I mean, it's every day the numbers go up and it's so contagious and it's not safe. So
yeah, I'm
very much supportive of the decision to call it off.
What about you, Leah?
So I'm sure that everyone would, I would think everyone would agree. It was like an emotional roller coaster over the past couple weeks. To have something hit so quickly and have such a devastating effect on all of our businesses, like, literally blindsided all of us. Last week, from Wednesday to Sunday, with like one thing after another, where we're like, the theater next door was closing, and then basketball games shut down, and then Broadway shut down, and then on Friday they made a curfew in Morristown, and then by Sunday night they said we were only allowed to take out delivery courts. By Monday morning they made it for the whole state of New Jersey. It got very, it was a lot of news very fast, and you know, when things like that happen, you're trying to make the best decision, and I was going back and forth with my partners, and finally we came to this decision, like, we have to at least try to get in this game of takeout and delivery to see if we can generate some kind of revenue while this is all going on. And so that's eventually what we did. After I laid off the whole staff, I brought back two, and Friday we reopened, and like, thankfully it was very busy and I had to bring back three more people. So now I'm employing six people, and I think, like, it could get better. Listen, it could also get worse. We have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm not allowing anyone to step foot in my restaurant. I'm only bringing stuff out to you, leaving it on the table outside, or dropping it like in your car, or I'm leaving it on your doorstep so that there is no contact with anyone, because it is very scary and it is very contagious, and none of us want to get sick either. But like, if we want to have a shot at this, I feel like we need to stay in the game for as long as we can.
Yeah. What about you, Hillary?
You know, last week we worked, you know, down to the wire, serving brunch myself on Sunday. And, you know, we had an emergency partner meeting at 4 o'clock, and it was a 5-6 vote of closing. And obviously the sixth person jumped on board at some point, but we had a conversation in the safety of our, I work in a group that's, you know, 5 restaurants, it's 300 people. So we had to make a decision, the 6 of us, for those 300 people. You know, I'm not saying next week I might go back and do, you know, takeout. That's something that, you know, our food is definitely warrants takeout. But at that point, our restaurants are big, the overhead's high, turning everything on. You know, we weren't in the position to make that financial decision at that moment. So we have a call tomorrow. We'll rehash it again. You know, we have a full chain of managers. We have a full chain of line cooks, food workers, checking in every day to make sure they're okay. And I still have food in the restaurants. So what we will do if anyone needs food is start delivering the rest of the food to the staffs, whoever needs food. But for right now, it's, you know, it was a sad moment, and some of the cooks understood and some of them had no idea what getting into. And that was the hardest part, to really understand that, like, when they're like, when are we opening? And they don't really understand what.
Yeah. How about Arian?
Yeah, pretty much the same with everybody else. Yeah. I think for us to try the takeout, and like Lee was saying, the unknown every day got so crazy, and every day hearing things and got bigger and bigger. And I think my staff, because that's who I really concern myself with a lot. I think they really got it. They understood. And I think they were okay knowing that when we did close, they were okay with it, knowing that they were all going to be okay and safe. And a lot of them left the state. A lot of them are hunkering down with their families. So I think it was far best just to shut our doors. I donated a ton of food to our local pantry. My gas is off. My water is off. My electric refrigerator is emptied. And knowing that we will go back, hopefully sooner or later, with a really great fresh start. And that's the only thing, you know, the hope that I have that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. And
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Have any of you had any conversations with your partners or with your landlords?
Yeah.
About, you know, your commercial rent?
Yeah, if I can jump in. So we've already gotten, knowing that we don't have to pay our mortgage for 3 months. We've gotten that cleared off, so I don't have to pay my mortgage. One of the biggest things is health insurance. They're like one of the only ones that aren't giving us a break right now, is health insurance. Yeah. But we did get like phone bills, mortgage, water. A lot of them are giving us like a grace period.
What about somebody else? Yeah.
So I actually extended, I did a suspension on my house mortgage for 3 months.
Yeah.
And they literally did that so fast. It was like, I thought I was ordering takeout food. Like, it was just like, I'd like to suspend my mortgage. And the woman was like, okay, no problem. We'll send you a letter. Like, it was so easy.
Wow.
Now, according to my landlord for my restaurant, my one restaurant in Montclair, he's giving me a little pushback, but he's like saying, I'm going to work with you. But to be honest with you, I've been in Montclair 17 years.
Yeah.
We've never had an issue. He's like, I'm one of his best, you know, tenants. And I mean that with like zero exaggeration, never late, nothing. And so when it's going to hit him a little bit, cause I'm not going to pay him. I'm going to tell him, I'm not omitting the payment. I'm just not paying you now. When we reopen, figure it out. If my mortgage on my house, you know, is X amount of money, which I bought this house only 2 years ago, and they're willing to take it, the three payments, 27 years and 3 months from now, then my landlord can do it after 17 years. You know? Mason, quiet. Sorry,
but you—that's okay. You also have a complication too, in a sense where one of the restaurants you have holds weddings, and I've shot there. It's a beautiful venue for the social events and whatnot. But you probably had to postpone events on top of everything, not just the restaurants, but you probably had to deal with a little bit of that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So Botello in Jersey City is a restaurant and a wedding venue. It's right on the water. We're 10,000 square feet. you already know that we closed for 18 months 3 years
Correct.
Ago
yeah.
because of the pier. We reopened January of 2019. So we've been open for 13, 14 months, reopened. So this is really it's like a kick in – excuse me, ladies, but a kick in the nuts. Like,
it's okay.
It's the second time that this is happening to us.
Right.
And the weddings that we had, we've had weddings booked every Saturday 3 weeks ago all the way to the end of the year.
Right.
So they bought out the restaurant. There's no restaurant service, just a wedding every Saturday night. So far, our event planner has been working on replacing them to future dates because they already know that they can't move the wedding anywhere else.
Right.
So now they're just trying to keep the venue that they originally picked and just get a date. Now, the problem is they're not going to get a Saturday date because they're already gone. So we're offering Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays. And, you know, I think with the situation, a lot of people are going to understand, but there's definitely a small amount of people that are not going to understand, or they're just going to be like, hey, I'm going to squeeze this place and try to get a discount out of this wedding, even though I signed a contract for $40,000 nine months ago.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It's definitely tough, but we haven't had any cancellations yet.
Right.
But we also, and we're trying to keep the weddings because we have, you know, we don't, so we have deposits for all these future weddings.
Right.
If I have a separate, you know, separate bank, we have a separate bank account from the actual restaurant bank account for deposits. There's probably like $600,000 sitting in that account that we haven't touched. But if people start canceling, we have to start paying them back.
Exactly. Yeah, that's tough. Hey, Robbie, what about you, man?
I mean, kind of like Leah and everyone else said, you know, just totally blindsided. I mean, I feel like I was having like the best year of my life. Nothing could go wrong. You know, I got nominated for James Beard. I got nominated for like Eater Young Guns. I was going to go compete in the World Pasta Competition. And then all of a sudden there was like talk of this. I was like telling everyone, don't worry about it. And then next thing you know, there's like businesses closing down left and right. My partner's my dad, you know, we're in it together. We don't have any big investors, you know, no big money people backing us. So it's kind of like do or die, trying to fight the fight. We did delivery and takeout out of both restaurants for a little while just to kind of see what we could generate from them. We kind of found out that Osteria wasn't really bringing in what we wanted it to, so we officially kind of closed that down. I kind of had the idea of turning Diageo into like a market. I mean, I feel as though all these people are, you know, piling into ShopRites and Trader Joe's and whatever it may be. So, you know, if we have five people inside that market at one time, that's like a lot for us. I'm a huge believer in not wasting anything, you know. So I just wanted to take whatever we had and kind of offer it in the market. You know, we're not really doing it to make a ton of money. We're not going to make a ton of money. It's more to kind of use up what we had, use up what's around, kind of have a new idea into play. And when I did this new idea, I noticed that it was just like such positive feedback. Like everything in our industry was kind of so negative lately to where like everyone was bummed, everyone was upset. Like, and it's just so positive. Like people walk in that door and see that we turned like a sit down restaurant into a market, and everyone that walks in is just smiling. Like they're looking over the product. I'm there talking with them, and like people are just happy, and it makes me happy. So it was kind of a really good idea. We're kind of rolling with it. We kind of set some more like standards into play where we're doing it from like Thursday to Sunday. The market is 11 to 8 p.m. We're doing delivery 4 to 8 and like kind of starting a whole new restaurant schedule, but not necessarily a restaurant. And hopefully, you know, people are kind of following along with us. I mean, yeah, not to mention we got to bring in some revenue, which is great. But just like everyone else said, you know, like trying to suspend our rent or kind of defer our rent and talking to people to see who's going to work with us. You know, I know me and my dad sat down and talked about taking out another SBA loan. We're like, do we really want to put ourselves in more debt over this? And, you know, we decided not to. It's also nice to be able to employ some of our employees, just like Leah said. Like, it was awesome to have a really busy Friday and be like, oh my God, you know, we need to take two more people on. Hey, guys, you want to come work? And, like, their reactions were like, oh, hell yeah, really? Like, and it just felt good. Like, it was, like, happiness to, like, be able to have people working. And honestly, you see people walk into this market and seeing people just see their eyes, like, when you turn a restaurant into a market, and it's just excitement. So it's really good to kind of keep the positive attitude and, like, you know, talk with colleagues about it. And it's just positivity, and that's kind of my real support behind it.
And Mike, you have a sandwich shop, so you are open. You can do takeout, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, my situation is rather different than everybody else. You know, about 10 months ago, I forcefully was closed out of my restaurant. So I kind of went through this a year ago.
Uh-huh. You know,
not much notice, massive issues with the landlord. Pig and Prince shut down within a matter of weeks, you know. Pulled the carpet out from under me. I lost everything. It was a fucking nightmare, you know? Yeah. Nightmare I'm still living. Opened the pasta shop in September. It's a retail shop, fresh pasta, stuffed pastas, all sauces and such. It's also a sandwich shop. We're open. We're in full swing. We're only doing curbside. We don't let anybody inside. We're taking all the precautions. You know, 10 months ago, I wouldn't have wished that upon anybody, and now I'm seeing everybody go through the exact same thing that I had to go through. And so believe me, it's heart-wrenching to see that all over again. And,
sure.
You know, nine of you here, and then hundreds of thousands of people, and tens and hundreds of thousands of people across the country losing restaurants, losing jobs. Who knows what that's going to do? You know, the stats are constantly up and down and left and right. Who's going to reopen? Who's not going to reopen? Who can afford to reopen? How many jobs are lost? Devastating. Yeah. You know, we started really following this in December. You know, we're a small crew. There's only six of us. So we're with each other every day. Just everybody is. We start to scatter. It's like, you know, what's this shit going on in China? And now all of a sudden it's starting to spread. And then it was Italy and Europe. And then all of a sudden it comes here. So, you know, we've been, as everybody has, we've got our thumb on it the whole time. And
Mike, has your business gone up since this happened?
I hate talking about it, but yeah, you know, it's not
good thing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
that's great.
I feel terrible talking about things like that because I don't want people to think it's like a joke. You know what I mean?
No,
that makes me happy. It makes us like want to work harder.
Yes. It is. You know, it is up. If I had Pig and Prince, not only would we be closed, but that would be the end. There would be renewal. Financially, I would never be able. I was by myself. You know, I didn't have anything behind me. And
it's funny that you say that because I was actually completely and utterly shocked by Gotham announcing, with everything happening, that they're closing indefinitely, just like that.
People can't. I mean, it's think about it. You know, like Ryan, you said it the other day in something that you put. We all know this. We work on such a razor thin margins, and it's like something is devastating. Who knows? Could it be 2 weeks? Could it be 2 months? You know, you got de Blasio talking about not reopening New York restaurants to September. That's insanity.
It's crazy. It's
crazy. You know, and you know, New Jersey's going to jump right on board. We're right there. We're the sixth. You know, we're the sixth borough to that. So it's like it's such an unknown variable being thrown at us. It's such a crazy
I have a question. How long, so all of you have places, how long do you think you can sustain being closed and still actually reopen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll open all three restaurants. It'll be you know, if we need money, we'll make capital calls on the two in Jersey City. The one that is 17 years old in Montclair is owned. I own with my family. I opened it in my early 20s.
It's fantastic.
Thank you, Peter. My father's like, he's like, you know, we're not going to pay anybody until all this is happening. We have great relationships with everybody. They're going to have to understand, you know, and keep in mind, I have a little power behind all three because of Patello. It's 10,000 square feet. We do over $7 million a year. So the vendors are completely and utterly in love with us because we pay on time and we give them a lot of business. So for us to be like, let us pay you over time, they're all going to say okay for every restaurant. But will we have to invest money? Absolutely. You know, and we'll probably you know, borrow some money for Fashino, either a small, an SBA loan or, you know, a home equity loan. My father's, you know, his house is paid off. We can do that. You know, there's some tricks, you know, as long as you don't find yourself, you know, in a massive hole.
Do you think you can last like 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months closed?
You don't even want to answer that question.
New York right now is May 7th. That's our best bet. That's our earliest, and most likely it'll be September. So when we
closed Botello 3 years ago, I don't know if you remember me saying that, because the pier that it sits on moved. We closed for 18 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because of a constructional issue, right? It was a constructional issue. Yeah.
Yeah. So they redid the whole pier. It took us 18 months to reopen. We did a capital call.
We lost you. There you are.
Yeah. Somebody was calling me, but I declined.
Got it. Yeah.
It's very doable. You have to have the support system between everybody that is a financial partner. You know,
I think we're all hoping for some financial hope. I mean, and help.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody was on the National Restaurant Association's phone call this morning. The idea of the insurance companies bailing us out with business interruption seems like it's not going to happen whatsoever. The insurance companies are pushing so hard that it seems like they're almost going to drop the idea of even trying to do this bill. But the one thing that seemed kind of positive is that they were going to try and give the money for your employee costs up to 250% of it. So whatever it costs you, $5,000 a week, or, you know, they were saying 250% of that is what you would get, which seems crazy that they would come up with such a huge number. But if that was passed, that would be huge for all restaurants. I think that it would bail a lot of them out.
What about for you, Hillary, on that question?
I mean, we're actually going to meet more with an insurance adjuster to see what's happening in New York City. If it is filed as like a national emergency or disaster, the insurance companies have a different, you know, we're waiting for what the governor really says. And we'll find out more tomorrow about that New York City rule. I mean, I think this all comes down. Yes, we will reopen. We are blessed. We just re-signed a 10-year lease. We will make it happen, whether it's me standing there making the dough for days on days, like two guys. Elizabeth's laughing. She knows I'll do it. We will reopen in some capacity. We are also blessed and big to have a family-owned landlord that has bought the building a very long time ago. So we'll make it happen, but, you know, on another note, you know, Claire, it's a great point, but isn't anyone else concerned about where your staff is going to home? And what are they coming back to the restaurants with? And then what are they going back and forth with? And that was a big conversation we had because we can't track 300 employees. So,
did anybody hear about if you give them a paycheck, but they don't have a number per se that they can collect? Did anybody get unemployment?
I think that's a tough call for us.
I got a thing from unemployment about that, and I sent it to my staff. The ones who get a paycheck, but
Claire, what about for you? You've been, you know, obviously we were just at Barbudo, who just kind of reopened his place, yeah. Jonathan Waxman. We just went there. I mean, and what's funny is you're so chill of a person, and you were kind of like freaking out about this, the virus, and I was clueless about it. But wow, that was I wrong. But anyway, what's going on for you? You know, you eat out a lot. You're totally always around in New York City. So talk to me about some of your friends and what they're saying.
Well, first off, I've already had Corona.
Lovely.
Yeah. So it was.
That was a couple of weeks ago that I saw you. So.
Yep. You might want to get tested.
Right.
No, it's it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't great. It's like a flu. Mm. For me, I'm very lucky. I'm, you know, we're all young and healthy here. But you know, I could. It's. I definitely see that it's dangerous for other people. For me, it was like a flu for a couple days, and then now it's passed. I'm going crazy being locked inside, but that's,
same,
you know, part of it. I don't want to spread it to anybody. And I don't, you know, now I guess I can't get it again. So I'd probably be the prime person once I'm cleared to get out and help somebody. Obviously I'm not going out to eat anywhere, nor is there anywhere to go eat. I found that I've spoken to friends that have restaurants, you know, across the city and across the country, and sadly, some major players are not, and that's a definite. It's unbelievable. I mean, I actually did the math on how many friends have told me how many people have been laid off, and this is just friends through text, and it was 2,700 people that have been laid off in our business that they had to let their entire staffs go, and they're not coming back. They're sitting on 15 leases. Insurance is not coming in to help. I, you know, oddly, I'm so scared about getting Corona. Corona wasn't that bad. This is bad. I'm a little concerned about the, you know, what we're going into. I've also had friends that have restaurants, you know, up in Harlem, for example, a buddy that's saying he's more concerned about the community itself, that he's got families who've been out of work for 2 weeks. They're hour-to-hour paycheck kind of people, and they've been coming in and asking, because he's been doing takeout and delivery, if they could come in and clean his restaurant or anything in exchange for food. I mean, that's what I'm starting to see in New York, is we're looking at a long-term, you know, I think we're going to be really lucky, the restaurants like Hillary, like, oh, by the way, I'll come help you make dough. I mean, once I'm corona-free, I'll get my hands in there.
Right.
But it's, I do think that it's a little bleaker when I'm hearing dates like May 7th and then possibly September. I think that there are a lot of restaurants here that if you're lucky enough to have a family-run or family-owned building, then you can actually deal with a person. But New York, for a good part of it, is not family-owned buildings. You're looking at massive corporate deals that it's not going to be so easy to make these lease deals go away. I mean, I talked to a friend of mine who's sitting literally on 15 leases after having to let go of 1,000 employees. And he can't get out of it. It, like, you know, I mean, not only is it going to destroy their businesses are destroyed, they're personally going to be destroyed here financially. So I'm hoping that the May 7th date, you know, that's already in place, I guess, but I'm hoping September isn't on the table, because I also am concerned about the way people are going to see going back to eating in restaurants. I don't know if the vibe is people are going to have a fear, or are they going to be like, woohoo, we got out of our house.
But it's restaurants, and like, you can't go to what sports arena, Madison Square Garden, no concert, nothing like that. You can go, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a long-term thing to really try to rethink how you can do what you do. I think everybody needs to like really think about what you can do over the next year in a different way than you're used to. And I have a brother who's a rock musician who plays for Beck. And so, of course, all of their world tour is on hold right now. And he's just like somebody who's a busybody recording artist person. And I'm like, you know, and he can't even, and he's in the middle of moving right now here in LA. And I'm just like, you're going to have to like, just make acoustic, you know, streaming videos or something just to preoccupy yourself or rethink. It's like none of the way we've been doing business our whole lives or how we were
brought up in this is going to be the same. So you have to kind of, I don't know. I'm also terrified like everybody, but I'm like, all I can think about is like, how do we reprogram everything that we do? You know, maybe it's really figuring out a brick and mortar situation that is doing delivery or like you said, like a hub of a market, and but rethinking how you get customers in. It's a really different scenario looking forward, I think.
And you know, you have a lot of events, you're consulting, so you're doing a lot of that kind of stuff. All of that's going to be shut down as well. So
it's all a clear calendar until Hawaii comes online.
So how does that affect you? I mean, you're in LA and whatnot. I mean, and you traveled. I think you traveled during all this as well, right?
I came to Los Angeles. It's been like 10 days ago.
Hi.
Like right before. Hey.
Luca.
Right before the total. I mean, I was kind of nervous to fly here, but then I got on JetBlue and it was about 15 people on my plane.
There you go.
Wow.
So, wild. And everybody was wearing a mask and, you know, I was like, I don't think this is a great idea, but I really, my parents live here. And I thought, if I'm stuck somewhere, I'd rather be here than New York just because of my family.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm not really a restaurant consultant, but I do so many events and recipe development and thinking about food of the future with different kinds of projects. And, you know, I guess I'm sort of trying to repaint a picture of what food in the future looks like. And I would love to, I want to keep talking to everybody who's coming out of the restaurant world, because I left my restaurant world full time 6 years ago. So I'm emotionally capable of handling this. I'm actually feeling all of your pain so much from closing your restaurants, because it's not just the virus and what's going on with the economics, but it's the psychology of like emotionally losing everything that you've been working on. And I think this is so shocking for everybody. I personally just want to encourage people to, you know, try to walk away from the social media and television a little bit in the day and do something completely different that you haven't done for a long time, like some other kind of exercise that you're not even into. You know, something totally different, or start working on a different kind of cooking that you've never been interested in. You might as well just take time to do that and rethink about what's next.
I think that's a good question for all of you. Is there anything like that that you've been doing, even just from a cooking perspective, learning a new dish, you know, doing demos online? I know, Ariane, I saw you doing some live streams and whatnot. What are you guys kind of all doing? Start with Ariane.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with my quick 10-minute live video, cooking video, with my daughter and my and we just make a whole family affair tonight. We did guacamole. My wars can wear no, I mean, fun. You see so many people. I've had people connect with me from Nashville, from Vegas, from you know, all places that them or work with them in other parts of the country. So that's really nice, just for a little quick check-in. I made banana bread and people were inspired to make banana bread. And it's all about cleaning out your fridge and your freezer. So I'm having fun with that.
Nice. What about you, Hillary?
I'm doing the same with my freezer. Someone gave me a piece of elk. I'm really digging deep. But I've been baking bread. I'm making my own starter and then using the starter waste to make products out of it. You know, I'm working, my nephews and I, they're being homeschooled out in San Francisco right now. So we're working on a cooking class together, what I can do with them. Because they walk into Vic's and they go back to the kitchen. They think they own it and they make pizza like it's their job. So, which I'll be calling on them shortly as well.
What about you, Caroline?
I have been, you know, it's been a very emotionally difficult, like week and whatever, cooking a lot, trying to get exercise when it's safe to be out. Been in touch with my family a lot. My brother is runs an ICU, actually, so he's been like very much on the front lines of this. So kind of like staying in touch with him about sort of what's going on in their world. You know, just really avoiding doing my taxes.
Well, you're
nasty right now. I've got like nothing but time now, and I'm like, right. Sorry. Don't have time to do that. I'm not gonna lie, it's been like really difficult. I've been cooking every day, which feels really nice. So
yeah. How about you, Leah?
I will agree with Caroline and say that it has been extremely emotional. You know, I think when we decided to close last week, like I freaked out. Like it was like extremely depressing. This is my whole entire life. Like I love, like the restaurant is like the love of my life. And to think that that could all be taken away so easily was like, I was in a bad place on Wednesday, and I am just so happy to be in the kitchen cooking again. Like it gives me joy to make people happy. Like whether it's we're making them fried chicken or a burger for dinner, or they're ordering groceries from us so that like elderly people don't have to go to the supermarket. Like it feels good to do good. And I think we ran it like really lean, so I really haven't had much time to do anything, but I think like, we might also implement a little like pop-up shop for takeout and to go to like start playing with a different concept that I have. And also, I guess like maybe just start playing with like some different dishes that we want to make and like run it as a special on the weekend and like hit it heavy on social media and get the word out there just to like play a little bit and get out of the monotony a little.
Totally. Allison, I don't think you've said anything. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I actually always have a lot of things to say. You know?
Yeah.
And I always like to make people laugh. You know, food and laughter is kind of what I'm after. So I always have a lot of jokes to tell.
We needed that.
I just wanted to save up, you know, I comic relief. This is kind of like intermission, you know.
How has it been for you?
You know, I think I'm the only one here that's living on Long Island. I did grow up in Brooklyn. So, you know, it's been a little bit very difficult, just like everybody's been saying. And, you know, the last year I've been trying to really get into like fitness and being a lot healthier. So on this time off, I still kept up with that. And I've been going running outside. I know a few people stop because they're surprised that I'm actually running. They make sure that I'm okay, or they're like, Allison, is that you? I'm like, it's me. You know, I was just like holding up the tree on the corner for a few minutes. You know, I'm like, I'm good though. But I've been trying to get into like fitness and stuff like that. So I think working out and, you know, feeling good is basically a good start.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of takes your mind off of a few things. And I've been reaching out to a lot of local restaurants and chefs here on the island. I know a few of them are doing takeout and carry out. Actually, there's a chef from New Jersey who just opened the restaurant not too long ago, Eric Levine. I think some of you might know Eric. So I reached out to him and I just wrote, hey, so when this is over, we're doing something to get business to all these restaurants, right? And he was like, absolutely. So right now we're kind of thinking of like brainstorming some ways to get people into these restaurants and what event can we do? What can we host? What can we do
sure.
to really give back business and really kind of, you know, get people back out to these restaurants because it's so important to support your local businesses. And I've talked to Eric several times this week to see how he's doing. I know his restaurant's still open. I saw today he was actually pretty busy with deliveries, and I've been in contact with a couple other places here on Long Island to kind of see what I could do and what I could help. I actually helped the local butcher shop during the week to, you know, we butchered 10 cases of chicken and I was like, okay, I'll help you. Of course, we all were so far apart from each other and I pretty much worked by myself in a really cold room, but, you know, we sold out of all the chicken, and those were, you know, people getting, you know, deliveries or whatever they were getting for their homes and for their family. Right. So if I could do something as small as stand in a room by myself to butcher chicken or skirt steaks, or I was breaking down New York strips, you know, if I could do that little thing to get food into people's homes and kind of, you know, do what I can in this time, you know, I think as chefs were, you know, always on the front line of a crisis and a time like this, you know, we're all like, doors are closed, you know, like, what can we do to help, even if it's the littlest gesture, you know. And I was actually last week scheduled to be a keynote speaker at Hofstra for their winning women's conference, and that got canceled. So I have a whole speech prepared that no one's going to hear, but I did write it down.
Now, girl, go ahead. Nice. Here's your
No. All right. No, stop. No. what about you, Ryan? Have you been messing around with any new dishes or anything like that? Or what's your take on it?
I've been working out a lot.
There you go. Yeah.
I've been working out a lot. You know, we do have two little ones at home, and my wife is homeschooling one of them. It's obviously very not easy. Definitely not easy. I'm not doing any of the homeschooling, by the way. But the other one's only 2 years old. There's also a 14-year-old. So I've been cooking a lot, but it's really just been for the family. I haven't had a chance to really test anything out. It's funny, Hillary mentioned baking bread. I have over in the corner a starter because I wanted to bake some bread. This is my first time really toying with bread. But that's really it. And drinking a lot of really good wine. So I'm nice. Either going to come out of COVID-19 looking like a gladiator or an alcoholic. both.
What about you, Robbie?
I mean, honestly, I feel like I've been working more because we're going so light staffed and kind of getting in there to try and get this market set up and make it look good and, you know, minimal staff. I mean, dude, it's just been like a complete whirlwind. Like, I just don't have emotions. It's almost like living a bad dream every day, hoping I'm going to like wake up from it, you know, texting Ryan, texting all my other friends in the industry, you know, talking about it, but at the same time, kind of like, you know, grinding. I go from, you know, getting up at, you know, 7:30 and instead of going to the gym, going right to the market these days to set that up at Viaggio. Do the market all day and then kind of scramble to get set up at 4 o'clock to be like cooking on the line to do delivery and takeout. So, I mean, I'm still out there grinding. It's just a little different now. It's, you know, it's not like watching over two restaurants. It's like I'm kind of back in the whole mess.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just been a whirlwind. I mean, I think all these guys can kind of vouch for that.
Yeah. How about you, Mike? Cooking anything, doing anything, getting any ideas?
I have two kids, so half the week I'm a teacher at home. they have a very regimented day, starting at 7:30, going till 3. You know, everything in there is from reading to writing to creative writing to lunch and snacks and breaks and whatever. Trying to get outside when I can. I was working on a project up until. I was slated to be an instructor at a cooking school. Cooking school's closed, so that never happened. And then I was working on a new restaurant project that is probably not going to happen at all. So I had been putting a lot of time into that. I guess I'm just trying to be reactive and just absorb everything.
Yeah.
Trying to be forward thinking. I'm doing something with Ani Ramen next week. We're doing a big charity donation because we're still operating, so we still have product going in and out. So we're doing a huge donation to Claremont Hospital, the Nutley Family Service Bureau, which is the town that the shop is in, Salvation Army in Montclair, and then police, fire, EMS, and those departments too. So we're gonna whatever we can do to, you know, help out who needs it right now. Since we're still operating, we still have both food and money flowing through. Whatever we can do to add sustenance to the people that need it right now.
So how about you, Claire?
Creative and whatnot. We're just trying to survive at the moment.
Do that. How about you, Claire?
And when it kind of blows over, if and when it does, then we'll figure out what we're going to do next.
Totally. How about you, Claire?
Well, besides
getting through this virus, yeah.
Besides actually having Corona, I have been drinking heavily. And
that sounds about right, yeah.
Because that gets you through Corona as well. Hot toddies. And I actually started brushing back up on my French, which is still pretty bad. I think I've watched everything every channel has. Like Netflix has been smoking it.
Yeah, totally. Actually, I've been watching the show that Elizabeth's on. Have you guys all seen that? The Tournament of Champions?
I just watched Elizabeth. I just watched you literally before this call.
Yeah, it's good. It's really
Elizabeth,
good.
Elizabeth, I love you on camera. You are amazing to watch. Like,
you're so sweet.
Cheers. Isn't that nice? You're awesome.
But Claire, good question though. I mean, in terms of food television, I'm sure all the productions have probably, you know, seized up as well. So what's happening?
Everything is dark. Food Network is dark. All production that I know of is dark. Although oddly, I think this would be a great time for all of these, like every one of you have some amazing recipes. I think there should be some pantry something going on right now because everybody's totally. Literally cooking out of their pantries. But, you know, it's the time that I think TV's about ready to take a really big turn because this is where you hold up the iPhone and you know, share your recipes. Because
it's true. There was a cook who just did the Beard House for International Women's Day. Her name's Brianna Cooper, and she just moved from D.C. to Brooklyn. Super talented, and he was like, "Chef, I'm really depressed, and you know, do you have any thoughts?" And I'm like, "Well, I understand your depression, and this is a really crazy time for, and you're not alone." And I'm like, but, "You know, you're such a good cook. People want to see what you're doing, and they want to, you know, everything I keep posting. People are like, can you please give me the recipe?" And I'm like, "No, just pay attention to the details. I'm not doing that." But it's true. I think every single chef and cook out there that even if you think, oh, my God, it's oversaturated. How am I any different or whatever? Just do it because, you know, people are just we need some kind of inspiration. And
people, it's a lot of hours in a day.
You should be able to post some stuff, not just random bloggers, basically.
So, yeah.
That's what I think.
So I want
to really do that, you know?
I want to give you all a chance. I know you guys, some of you have Kickstarters or GoFundMes that you're trying to raise awareness to. So I wanted to give each of you guys, and if there's one that don't have one and you want to shout somebody or something out, go for it. But I know, Leah, you've got a GoFundMe going on, right?
Yeah, I probably had a layoff, like, I don't know, maybe 60 people, almost 70 people. And unemployment isn't your full paycheck, and you know, like none of us know how long this is going to last. To hear that it could last until September is frightening. So I'm just trying to generate something nice for my staff. I mean, because honestly, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have two businesses. I wish that I had, you know, $40,000 to be able to divvy up among them. And I worry about them too, you know, just like Arian, that's one of my biggest stressors right now is like worrying about my staff who are used to making a certain amount of money and now are not going to be able to do that. And like, it's heartbreaking. I cried so much last week. It's devastating. So like anything, that we can raise for that is amazing, and we've already raised like $3,500, so you know, anything helps.
Ryan, I think you've got one too, right?
We have one for each restaurant. So my two restaurants in Jersey City are with separate business partners, and originally when we talked about it, I was just like, I don't know. I think it's like, I feel like everybody's taking advantage of GoFundMe. You know, I feel like it's not really going to go anywhere. You know, but then I started thinking about, no matter what amount it is, if you're handing people that work for you money that was donated by guests that love your restaurant, whatever amount it is, whether you're handing them $100 or $1,000 each, they know that you're going up, you're batting for them, you know? And that's really what it came down to, was that I needed to bat for my staff. You know, in Jersey City, everybody's been super supportive. All three of them are hovering around $6,000, though Fashino, I only started yesterday and it got to 6,000 in 2 days. But it's also, again, open 17 years, and it's probably got the most close-knit customers out of all the restaurants, because, one, it's been around so long. Two, it has the longest employees. I have employees from 10 to 17 years that have worked for me at that restaurant. They're like family. So, you know, I'm almost never in Montclair. I'm always pretty much in Jersey City. And there's so many faces that my guests are happy to see when I'm not there, which makes it that much more comfortable for them. So we've had a very strong go at the GoFundMe for the last 48 hours. And, you know, whatever it is at the end of the week, I'll divvy it up between the staff of full-time and part-time employees. And I'm hoping that if the numbers could go down just a little bit, I know that it sounds crazy to say that, but if the numbers go down at all, I'm going to reopen for takeout and delivery.
Good. Yeah.
And may steal Robbie's idea of the marketplace too.
Anyone
You've
else
been doing it for years, old man?
Does anyone of you else have a GoFundMe or something that you want to plug out? Or
GoFundMe page up right now. We're just hovering around 20,000 for the four restaurants, and it's really, honestly, you know, we went swinging, and it's really wonderful. It's just the outreach, the people, the guests, even the people that don't even get to come all the time. Just their messages to understand that this goes directly to our employees, has nothing to do with us. It goes to them. And what we want to do is to make sure that they're taken care of. They know that they have a job, they're welcome, and that whatever they need, we're there to help them. And whether it's $50 or I go to the restaurant and give them every ounce of dry goods I have and deliver it to their house, they know that that's what we're doing for them. So, I mean, I don't know how much money it's going to be, but right now we're at 20. So it's building. And I think if we keep pushing and keep reminding people we all need help right now, those guests, they're there to support us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't be afraid to ask people, you know, to, like, I posted it today on Facebook saying, I'm friends with 2,700 people. If everybody gave $3, I'd be up over $8,000. $3. Right. $3.
Yeah.
You know, so every amount counts. And I think you just got to keep reminding people that, you know, that we did so much for them when they come to the restaurants, right? How many desserts have you comped? How many people have you snuck into a completely booked reservation? You know, you have all. How many of you have been involved in fundraisers and helped raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for these fundraisers? Now it's time for us to ask.
Yeah,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because you know that when we reopen, those guests that donated, you know you're going to repay them with some kind of thank you.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Anybody else with GoFundMes or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we have one going. We just kind of agreed. You know, we saw everyone else doing it. And, like, I mean, my two staffs are, like, the tightest-knit group family that I've, like, ever seen. Like, I mean, best friends, they'll work 12, 13, 14 hours a day, and then they're hanging out after work, before work. Like, driving to work together. So, I mean, when I say it's family, they are like really all like family, and me and my director of operations just kind of decided, you know, let's throw this up there. And just like all you guys said, you know, whether it's throwing $50 at each employee or throwing $1,000 at each employee, just to be able to help them out and be able to have like given the chance to have people kind of, you know, repay us or just give something to help these guys out. You know, it's just really a sad story having to, you know, I had to lay off just as many employees, whether it be 40, 50 employees. I mean, I'm only 29 years old. I have some employees that have, you know, kids, wives, things like that. So for me to sit there, it's just like mind boggling to think about that.
Yeah. Anybody else with the GoFundMes or anything? That's cool. Listen, I want to ask a few of you, Elizabeth, there's probably chefs that are going to be watching this, you know, outside of the group that's here. What advice do you have for chefs that are watching this, that are going through, that are in this, like the rest of the bunch?
I mean, I think the main thing right now is for all of us really to, even besides the people that are our guests and customers or people that we've done fundraisers for, to really like, harass government officials, because they can't really hear it. They we're so far down in the totem pole, seems, or it sounds like from them, that like we have just got to get really aggressive in many ways, you know, even calling to them, like everybody's posting, but like seriously, like harassing them, because we need to get on the radar of like, this is a severe economic problem starting. Instead of like Reaganomics, it's trickle up, and instead of trickle down, and I'm so concerned, like you are, of all of the dishwashers and prep cooks and, you know, and every single massive part of this industry is just not getting any, all the way to the caviar and truffle purveyors. They're not getting anybody's open. So like, the effects of all of that, just product not getting into distribution, is just pretty scary. So I think like making all those things known to every single government official, people, you know, we vote for people, so they need to like know what the problems are.
Yeah. Caroline, for you, that's, you know, in this position of, you know, just getting this thing and, you know, and now it's kind of on hold. I'm sure there's a lot of other employees that are going through something very similar. What advice do you, I mean, I know, you know, you're probably at a loss in some ways.
Yeah,
but what advice?
I mean, I don't really have much advice. I feel it's just a horrible feeling to just feel totally like helpless, because I don't really know. I think Elizabeth is right. I think like, especially just on a local level, like New York, New Jersey, like we have pretty powerful local politicians because our states have really big economies. And so I think that is something we can do. But I mean, you know, in New York, the restaurant industry, be it like fine dining or fast casual, delis, coffee shops, whatever it is, we're the largest single employer in New York State. We're talking millions of people. So if all of those people who are, you know, laid off or whatever, if everybody makes a phone call, that's a shit ton of phone calls. So yeah, I guess like make some noise, get aggressive.
I mean, I know about the glamorous side of anything, but it's kind of just the reality, you know? It's like,
yeah.
I hate that kind of stuff too. But it's just like, wow, we have to make louder gestures in saying, hey, it's not, we're not just doing this for, you know, our own pleasure, really. I mean, the cooking part of what our restaurateur's job is so minimal compared to everything else you have to do in management. So in this, I guess we just need to manage on a higher level some of those people's, the way they look at the business.
Yeah. How about you, Claire? Do you have any advice for the people? You know a lot of people that are going through this. I mean,
1,000% I agree with Elizabeth and Caroline. I think that right now, just to remind y'all that, you know, the restaurant industry is the highest payroll in the entire country. I think our problem that I've now noticed is we are not a group. As like right now, they're talking about bailouts immediately for the airlines. If they don't bail us out in some way, you're losing the highest payroll in the country. Mm-hmm. So we have a leg to stand on, but we have to band together and fight a little bit. And you can go fund my booze problem I'm now created if you want to go fund something else. Otherwise, I would say hopefully people will help y'all, and I would recommend that. You know, I think that the GoFundMes are great, but we need something bigger than that. I think we're looking at a bigger problem ahead of us. Luckily, you know, the ones with more experience, 17 years, you closed for 18 months before, you know, you might be able to get through this, but we're facing a big hurdle. So if we don't join together somehow and come up with a plan of what we really need to get our places back open, I think it's going to, you know, individually, yes, we're going to have to figure it out, but I think we do have a leg to stand on if we band together in some way, because just to remind everybody, we are the largest industry in the country. Hospitality and restaurants by far are the highest payroll.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, I think this was a really good chat. I think we just kind of scratched the surface on some of this. I've eaten at all of your restaurants, for those that have them, and I've eaten, you know, pretty much at all your places and whatnot. And I wanted to just thank you guys as a restaurant patron. I can't wait to get back to all your food and your places and whatnot. And I'm sure there's a lot of patrons that are listening to this that also feel the same exact way. So thanks for joining me here today, and hopefully good is coming down the line. And we'll all be out eating soon. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I think also, I mean, everything, I agree with everything everybody's saying. One thing I think that we should touch on, and this is really close to me, we all have hundreds, if not thousands, of friends. Call them.
Yeah.
Because mental health right now is so important. And, like, the emotional strain that this takes, I've been through it. Obviously, we're all going through it. Pick up the phone. How you doing? How you handling this? A simple phone call goes a long way. Yeah. I think, and that is another way, like Claire was saying, it helps bond us, band us all together. Just knowing that even in the darkest times, we're all still connected. So just a simple phone call. Keep them
awesome. Up.
Yeah, it's great advice.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
Tomato toast.
What was that, Ariane?
Yeah, I just said, let's all keep in touch. I love listening to what each and every one of you have said. It was really just something really refreshing, and I think we really needed. I don't know all of that. It's just a pleasure to meet you. Unfortunately, in a time like this, this isn't the way I wanted to meet you. But I look forward to seeing each and every one of you. And I'm not working right now, so if any of you need help, happy to do whatever I can. And that's it.
Cool, thank guys.
You.
Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate you guys jumping in here.
Good to all see right. all of you.
Yeah, thank you too. You. All right, have a good one, guys.
Bye, guys. Bye. Bye.
Today's episode of the Pop-Up Podcast was brought to you by Sunspot Films. Thanks for listening. For updates, check out popuppodcast.com.